Happy Friday, nerds. This week, we start out with some news and events to help you wrap up your summer in the best of Portland style. After that, some of the best movies of the year have just hit the cheap theaters. Let's look into how you can still hit up some summer blockbusters for just a couple bucks. And of course, we'll end with a look at this week's calendar highlights. Welcome to Nerd Portland Radio on X-Ray FM. It's a sad morning for Portlanders, or Portlandians, Portlandonians, whatever we're called. And you may be wondering why, since temperatures have come down to the comfortable Portland summer level again, just in time for a host of summer activities. But this is real and important, so listen up. Earlier this week, Forbes magazine left Portland off their annual list of the top 25 coolest cities in the U.S. Okay, usually these lists are worth ignoring, even when wrapped around the legitimacy of a magazine like Forbes, but this just isn't right. It's basically a clear argument in favor of a multiverse, because I can't think of a reality where Portland isn't just basically at the top of that list. So with that in mind, it's clearly up to us to make sure enough geeky things happen to make sure we get back on the list next year. That's right, Goonies. It's our time now. Okay, first opportunity. Grimm. Okay, odd place to start, but entertainment is cool, and having a hit TV show filming right here on our streets is something Portland can really use. Grimm showed up at San Diego Comic-Con last month to build up more momentum for its fourth season. The show has proudly featured homes and locations all around Portland, and I still remember that first episode that had the pink voodoo donut box on the table, and then they raced out to Forest Park. It made me feel like Grimm cared about being part of the Portland community, even if it also made me believe that our parks were havens for hex and beasts. And that felt like a pretty stark contrast to Leverage, which you may recall the Crooks with a Conscience show, that filmed here in Portland, and initially pretended it was in Boston. And sure, they eventually made the switch and turned Bridgeport Brew Pub into their base of operations, but it felt like Portland wasn't good enough for TV. So Grimm's decision to focus on Portland may be in part because of the success of our other TV franchise, Portlandia. Sure, they make fun of our idiosyncrasies, but deep down, we pretty much know they're true anyways. Plus, they really help put our own weirdness on the map. I think that's a good thing. Anyway, I mention each of these because Leverage didn't make it past season 4, which is right where Grimm is now. Portlandia is just entering its fifth season. You know, we've also got The Librarians with Noah Wiley, and it's just been filming. They're starting their first season. But we also have multiple shows that claim to be set in Portland but film in Canada. Rainn Wilson has one of those. It's a pretty tenuous position to be in, and if we want film to continue here, that needs to change, and I think that's something that needs to happen. So what can we do? Just make it easier and get involved. Portlandia, Grimm, The Librarians, they all have open casting calls for series extras, and they're ongoing, so you can get into that process whenever you want to. And they've also all recently made pushes for their upcoming seasons. Plus, spending a day being an extra is kind of a fun way to see the inside of the filming process and get more connected with these shows. And you get a little bit paid. That's great. So there's one. You know, more entertainment means a higher profile for the city, and that's a fun profile. Grimm is geeky, so that's good. I'm in. I'm invested. I'm ready. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Say you don't.
Listen to the-
What else makes a city cool? Good food. All right, so this weekend has two festivals where you can go eat and drink in style. First off, down by the waterfront is the 31st annual Bite of Oregon. It's got restaurants and food carts. There's tons of people there that just want to feed you food. But there's also celebrity chefs. There's a challenge stage. They do the Iron Chef Oregon competition. And the finalist, whoever wins this year, gets to fight against whoever was there last year, so it should be pretty good. There's also plenty of drinks to wash things down. That festival starts today and runs through Monday. Also running this weekend is the Portland International Beer Fest up at Holiday Park, which is just next to Lloyd Center. They've got a huge tap list, and tons of them are hard to get drinks from around the world. That show starts today at noon. Both of them are a little bit spendy, so I don't know if this is a good thing or not, but I'll point out that the red and blue lines of the MAX can take you from one of those festivals to the other one for pretty cheap. Now, neither one of those seems particularly geek-themed, but each of them are packed with nerds. Also, folks keep pointing out that we seem to think that it's entirely nerdy to know everything about the Elder Scrolls series or Fallout or whatever else, but somehow it's not nerdy to know everything about the beers of the world or molecular gastronomy or, you know, the little fine details about cooking. Weirdly enough, I learned recently that there is a huge, enormous exam that marks you as a Cicerone or a beer expert, and it pretty much mirrors the sommelier exam for wine. So a big, huge test that proves you're an expert, how nerdy is that? Anyway, the geek world is pretty wide, plus food and beer festivals are fun, and they're out in the sun, and it's during the best part of Portland summer. But okay, fine, something that might fit a little bit better. Next weekend is the PDX Adult Soapbox Derby, which has raced down the hills of Mount Tabor since 1997. Soapbox racers are basically marvels of DIY engineering, and they follow a strict set of race guidelines. They have to be built for less than $300, they can only be powered by gravity and a quick little push start, and they must have functional brakes and a horn. The day is set up in a series of heats, with finalists progressing to the semifinals and then eventually the final race to end the day. So these cars have to really be built to last if they want to win. They've got to have a clip up at the front so they can be towed back up to the top. So they're serious cars, but that doesn't stop the Derby from also being overtaken by the weird. Some of the Derby cars are built to fly down the hill. They're sleek, they're pretty looking, they're great. Others are really built to entertain. They can be decorated however a team wants to, so there's outlandish painting. Some are decorated to look like monsters or cartoons or just silly old-timey cars, whatever you want to do. It's a spectacle, and crowds line the track to see what kind of contraptions have been built this year. There's sponsors, there's entertainment, the whole thing is just a crazy good time. So get there early and save a seat. Maybe you'll get inspired and build your own soapbox racer for next year. Who knows? Portland is an amazing city with tons to do every single weekend, and no matter what kind of stuff you like to do, just get out there and do it. Anyway, I've got more summer tips for you coming up in a little bit, but let's give you a little rest from the sound of me. This is On and On by Kirby Crackle here on Nerd Portland Radio. Listening to Nerd Portland Radio here on X-Ray FM. That was On and On by Kirby Crackle, which I love because it's a song about the total monotony of being Wolverine. His background's a total mess, sure, but his calendar is really just nothing but fighting stuff. So, good times. Once upon a time, I took a job at a cheap theater. It was just like the regular theater, but it felt sad. I worked concessions, and I remember selling popcorn that was pretty much double the price of the movie ticket. And everyone just snuck in their own food and drinks anyways. It's not one of the jobs I remember with fondness or, I don't know, pride maybe. But you fast forward quite a while and things are a little bit different. The second run theaters, especially here in Portland, have just turned into bars and restaurants. There's tables, there's comfy chairs, and they're popular enough that they led to first run theaters like Cinetopia taking that business model and running with it. Just comfortable movie experience. Anyway, my two favorites in town are so comfortable that I'm pretty much happy to wait until I can just see movies there instead of at the regular theater. First up, the Laurelhurst on 28th and Burnside. It's got four screens, and which means it's got plenty of time to mess around with its movie selection. They do art house shows, they do second runs, of course, they bring classics back, and they also serve food from the New Deal Cafe. It's good, it's tasty. Best of all, they have air conditioning. The other one I like a lot is the Academy Theater, which is just east of Mount Tabor. It's a little bit smaller than the Laurelhurst, but it boasts one of my favorite movie deals in town, Two for Tuesday. I know shows are just $4, but on Tuesdays, it's buy one, get one free, which saves you a little bit of cash for their menu of flying pie pizza, or they have on-site babysitters if you're looking for that kind of thing. If you just want to get out there, have some date night movie time. Right now, both theaters are showing Edge of Tomorrow, which someone recently billed to me as Groundhog's Day meets Starship Troopers, but not as silly, and that was pretty much spot on. So if you missed it when it was first out, and if you liked either Groundhog's Day or Starship Troopers, go see this. It's time travel done really, really well, which is, if you like time travel movies, it's a rare and perfect thing to see it done right. Plus, Emily Blunt is fantastic as the heroic warrior. Tom Cruise has this excellent arc. He's got the Bill Murray role. It's fun, it's brutal, it's dramatic, it's dynamic, and pretty much it's what every action movie should aspire to be. So if action movies are your thing, pick your favorite second-run theater, go see Edge of Tomorrow. Among other favorites that they're showing, the Grand Budapest Hotel is playing at either of the theaters, so check that out. The Academy has Earth to Echo, if you're into some more animated stuff. Or you can relive the glory days of John Cusack with Say Anything. Check either one of their movie or their website for more movie showtimes. On the movie note, did you see it? Did you go and check out Guardians of the Galaxy like I told you? Not like you really need me to hear about a movie with that level of publicity, but I hope you took my advice because it was fantastic. Here's the thing, I like movies. I'll go and see pretty much any movie with a superhero in it. I saw Daredevil, I admit it. And usually I'm the kind of guy who likes the ones that run more towards, for lack of a better term, I'm going to go with lawful good. You know what I like? I'll watch Superman, I'll watch Captain America, because part of their story is dealing with morality in a generally less than moral world. That's my thing. That's what I like. So anti-heroes are fun and all, but they're not quite my favorite. So Guardians, being a gallery of rogues and all, is kind of a little weird for me. But there were some things that helped. It was set in Marvel space, and I mean, that world isn't well known. It's not tied to any of the other Marvel movies that have come before it. I'll tell you what, though, I think it was the inclusion of Chris Pratt specifically that sold me on the movie. I really like Parks and Recreation. I think it's amazing. It's just got that subtle, that understated humor, really. And it's a lot different than the over-the-top, you know, Dumb and Dumber goofiness. And that just doesn't do it for me. So if they'd gone with that kind of goofy slapstick surrounding a really silly plot, I would have been out. But Guardians is really successful because it's a story about a group of strangers becoming friends and allies. And the plot is really just a sequence of events that's set up to make that happen. The plot's pretty good, but it's got some holes. The villains are a little bit thin. Presumably it's so you can put focus on the main characters. But it's really about these characters in these crazy situations, and the humor isn't what it's there for. The situations don't build to slapstick. It is a funny moment in this big thing. So, comic, it's got wacky anti-heroes. Of the main five heroes, two of them are in full body makeup and two are totally CGI. They fly through space to planets and fight villains that we've never heard of before in any Marvel movie. And yet, it's totally successful in a pretty ridiculous way. All right, to kind of give you my thoughts on it, Star Wars Episode 7 is in production right now. It's a movie series I've been watching my whole life. I've waited in line. I waited forever for Episode 1 when it came out. I'm one of those guys. I think I'm actually a little bit more excited about the potential for Guardians of the Galaxy 2 than Star Wars 7. I'm just going to go ahead and say that these are the space rogues that I want to see on the big screen. So, really happy I saw it. I hope you have gone to see it as well. Maybe you'll see it at one of those second-run theaters in the future. Anyway, you're here listening to Nerd Portland Radio. Here's a little break with some They Might Be Giants. Welcome back to Nerd Portland Radio on X-Ray FM. One of my favorite albums by They Might Be Giants is Severe Tire Damage, where they're introduced by someone who calls them They Must Be Giants, and he's kind of got this schmuck-style voice, so maybe it's a purposeful joke, but it stuck with me. Ever since, I've been terrified of making that same mistake, so when I'm teaching and I'm writing up my lesson plans, every single time there's a proper name in there. I've got the full name, I've got the pronunciation, because I don't want to screw it up. I'm just so worried about it. Yeah, I'm a special little snowflake, that's for sure. Anyway, I feel like the whole show, I've been giving you plenty of events to head to this week, but I want to point out a few of the ones you should be paying attention to, some of the recurring ones, some of my favorites. So Tuesday, of course, is Puzzled Pint. Second Tuesday of every month. If you haven't heard of it, the game is simple. Monday at noon, a puzzle is posted at puzzledpint.com. Solve that puzzle and you're given the name of a bar here in Portland. Head there at 6 p.m. on Tuesday with a team and get a packet of more puzzles. You get a brain workout at a local bar. I mean, that's how I want to spend a weeknight. So the theme this month is Moving Day, which might refer to local game controller Matt Kleinman, who just headed back to the East Coast for grad school. Maybe moving was on his mind. It might signal some changes that have been hinted at for Puzzled Pint in the future. Maybe it's nothing, but I'm kind of used to thinking everything is a clue with this crowd. So if you are interested, I will definitely see you there on Tuesday. What else is up? Ground Control down in Old Town has two regular events that I want to point out. One is their regular free play night, which will be on Thursday. It's 5 p.m., $5. Play as much as you want. What makes this one unique is they just finally picked up Dragon's Lair, which is this animated video game where you have to, act at very specific times to get through the lair. Anyway, it's just super hard to get through because you would just hit the button at the wrong time and have to start over. It took tons of money. This might be your chance to finally beat that game if you, like me, spent way too much money on kind of the first opening chapter and never getting anywhere. Also, every Tuesday night at Ground Control features a chance to play one of the greatest video games ever made, Rock Band. You can bring a band or you can find people to play with you there, but Rock Band karaoke is a thing that I am happy to know exists in the world. My bass skills are a little bit out of practice, so hopefully I'll get there one of these nights. Maybe I'll see you there. Okay, that's all the time I've got here on Nerd Portland Radio. Take my advice, get out there, do something fun. Next week, we'll be playing board games with folks around town and finding more about their favorite games. So if you're in a gaming mood, send us a note by Twitter at NerdPDXRadio. Also, if you want to catch up on our most recent episodes, check us out online at xray.fm/programs/nerds. All right, I'm kind of in a video game mood, so let's close out with the mini bosses. I've been your host, Richard, and I'll see you next week here on X-Ray FM.
Support for X-Ray FM comes from Guardian Games. For nearly a decade, Guardian Games has been offering board games, card games, and play space to the Portland gaming community. Located at 345 Southeast Taylor Street in Portland, more information at ggportland.com. We'll be right back.
X-Ray FM. You just heard NPR, that's Nerd Portland Radio, telling us stuff to do around Portland in the nerd realm. Coming up on X-Ray, Unfictional with their episode, The God of Chaos.